Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Do you think that Alex Lomax changed his number to number 10 so that he could really lean into the Andre turnover vibe?
That's well thought out, brother. And I wish it was as simple as that. Because if it was as simple as that, man, maybe we could just kind of square it
just
away.
Put him back to number two; it'd be fine. And I say that as I was too young to remember Andre Turner being the turnover thing. I wore number 10 when I was a kid because I loved Andre Turner, and so but it made me laugh when I was like, wait a minute, why is he number 10 now? Maybe that's why.
Well, part of it is if you give him back number two, you're going to have to take it from Jalen Duren, who right now. Is shining in that number, right? Coming off of what he just did, pretty historic performance in his last one. But back to Lomax on your point, you know, Andre got it licked. That was the difference, right? And that's what you thought about Alex, is that, you know, at least by now his senior season, much like it was for Andre, you know, you get it figured out after a while. It's hard to play point guard at Memphis, JR. You know, you're scrutinized, and now it's reached a level. You know, you go from Andre and go up to Joe Jackson, and now times have changed with social media, and so now it's, you know, the criticism gets even louder. And that, you fast forward to Alex Lomax, and I think the thing that's different between him and Andre is that, you know, year four here, and you got six turnovers. Yep. You know, Andre got it licked. Yep. He got the issue licked to where by the end of it, he's the little general that you could depend on to make great decisions and everything else. And in Andre's case, hit some huge shots for you down the stretch. You know, he won Memphis games. Yes, in Alo's case, you were just hoping that the maturation, JR, by this time would lead to a guy who isn't turning the ball over six times in a game, you know, leading to a, you know, a, what, 24, 25 turnover performance as a team? I think it was 26.
26.
And so to have your lead guy, right, your point guard right there, and a big part of that with six himself in his senior year, you know, it's hit your head against the wall level frustration, because here you are, you know, third year in a row, you're in the 300s in turnover percentage. And quite frankly, JR, it threatens to undo the rest of the good you're doing. And so literally just, you know, Sitter spent 3, 4, 5 minutes, I think, and worth it, picking at the things right now that are sort of holding them back, but realizing that with all the good they've got going, that these are the things that can keep you from getting that two or that three seed in the tournament. So I think right now it's fair game that, you know, again, third year in a row here, you're talking about a team that's turned the ball over 50 times in the last two games, and it's about to take another step up in competition level. They've got to get this thing licked.
That's exactly right. I mean, I know it's a bit well pointed out that Lomax isn't like the elite level basketball player,
right,
that the rest of the roster is. And I actually am kind of fine with that, is that sometimes your job is to not screw it up for everybody else and to be stable and to even kind of lead by example, as in the sense of, I know that my role is not to be the scorer. I'm not the flashy. I'm not the elite guy, but I am going to be solid as a rock. I'm going to put the ball where it needs to be put. I'm going to get us in the right offense. I'm going to play harder, or harder than everybody else on the floor. And I wish this was a one-off, except the problem is the guy who's supposed to be head honcho, you know, the general on the floor, is consistently your leading turnover guy. And that's you can't do that.
Well, and I'll be honest with you, JR, he's shown through his time here, and it feels like this is where it's going to end up going, but he's shown through his time here that he's better coming off the bench.
That's true.
You know, I don't know whether it's Alex Lomax putting too much pressure on himself, but you're absolutely right. All he's got to do is be competent. And you're talking about a guy who's perfectly capable of that in his senior year. You're talking about a two-time Tennessee Mr. Basketball, a two-time state tournament MVP, you know, won three state titles in high school, who's in his fourth year of college ball. And all you're asking for is a guy to, you know, not turn the ball over six times.
Yeah.
And so you're not asking for a ton there. He should be perfectly suited for it, and yet to get to what the root of the – well, you know, he sort of hasn't developed into that guy that won't make mistakes like an Andre Turner did. That said, he's also shown that he's just better, I don't know, for whatever reason, coming off the bench. And Penny, it seems like we do this every year where we try to say, Alo, just go out and be competent, run the show, manage the game. You don't need to go out and win them. We don't need 10 to 20 points from you if you're coaching this guy. That's what you're telling them.
Right.
But he hasn't been able to pull that off from that starter role. We've done this year after year, and it just feels like there's an opportunity. And you heard Penny Hardaway say as much, that he regretted the fact that he didn't go to Earl Timberlake down the stretch in that game. You won that game, but Earl Timberlake looks like a possible answer.
Yep.
You know, in terms of a guy who has the size. You know, if the biggest pro for Alex in terms of what he brings to the game is what he does for you defensively and that energy level there, well, Earl Timberlake can do it for you at 6'7". Maybe not to the degree that Alex does, but if you get him ready, and he's shown an ability, when comfortable, to be a playmaker, to be able to set up guy, a primary ball handler. And so I was surprised that Penny didn't go back to him down the stretch, because we've seen it in a couple of games now. Earl Timberlake looks like the guy, and I tweeted that night, he's an X factor to me, JR. If you could get him comfortable in that spot, hell, it might be coming off the bench 5 minutes in the game. I don't care whether it's starting or not, but him comfortable in that spot as playmaker, it's what he was doing when Miami signed him. It's the player he came up being. If you could get him comfortable in that spot, it might answer a lot of questions for a team that right now, you know, we're sitting here asking the same one for the third straight season. Man, can they just get some competent, you know, point guard play, ball handling, decision making up at the top? If they do, this team's got a chance to be top 10 all season long, and you know, maybe a not just a second weekend run, but maybe even a deeper push, because the talent level, my gosh, I mean, you look at tonight, you know, Imani Bates is off. Okay, Jalen Duren has a historic performance. I mean, you've got so much talent up and down the roster, JR. You would hate to have this same turnover issue, this same point guard play question hold them back for, in this case, forget the tournament, because you're going to make that based on talent alone, but from the deep run that you have what feels like maybe, you know, a once in a few years opportunity here to make the kind of push that you've got. You got two lottery picks on the team, and one of them just had an off night. You still won by double digits. I mean, it's phenomenal, the talent level that they had. You hope it's not wasted.
I think you're right. I hopefully Earl can be the one that kind of takes us over. I hate it for Alex too, because I want him to be the guy that's been stayed here all 4 years and like came here and wants to be the Memphis point guard, and I want him to be like the senior leader, like. He's the guy, you know, he's the glue holding it all together while all these other elite guys shine. He's the glue that holds it together. I want that for him, and I think Penny wants that for him. And I think he just keeps almost like, yeah, I just wish this would happen, but wishing it would happen is not making it happen. It's just apparently not in the cards. On the flip side of, like, being that, how awesome is Jalen Duren? Holy crap.
I mean, he's a grown man in there.
Yes, he just
turned 18 years old. And the difference is, I said this with John before the season started, I think it'll be the difference for when we're looking up in the postseason, looking at these postseason awards. Jalen Duren's game doesn't revolve around a jump shot and whether or not that jump shot's dropping.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about in terms of the production. That's not to say that Imani Bates isn't capable of doing other things besides scoring, because we've seen him be a good playmaker. We've seen him be a good teammate. I think that's what surprised me so far about him, is his willingness to be one of the guys. But with Jalen Duren, just because of the body alone, because of the athleticism, because of the activity level, you're looking at a walking double-double. If he's not in foul trouble, he's out there and capable of dominating the game. I think it was St. Louis where all six of the blocks came in the second half. This game he adds five blocks to go with, you know, 20 and 20 basically. And it's holy cow. look at him on a night where he doesn't have to be super skilled. The shot doesn't have to be dropping. He's getting it all off putbacks, alley-oops, and everything else. And this is why, to go back to the point, I think that the learning curve is less steep for him than it is for an Imani Bates.
Yep.
He can have a night like that in the AAC all night long as he's not in foul trouble. And that's why I think he's got a possibility here to top Precious, in the sense that Precious Achiuwa, 2020, he was the freshman of the year and also the player of the year for a Memphis team that finished tied for fifth in the conference. I think Jalen Duren has an opportunity to top him, being both the freshman of the year, the player of the year, for the reasons we just listed, because I think consistently on a night-to-night basis that game's going to be there. But what he could add that Precious didn't have, and he was in the running for, is defensive player of the year. And Jalen is changing games, changing shots. It's not just the blocks. He's changing other shots. He's a one-man defense, basically. And a guy who erases mistakes. You know, you've seen some of these Memphis guards get blown by early on here. Well, Jalen Duren's a guy that can erase mistakes. So I say all that to say there's been nobody more impactful defensively in the AAC. So he's got a chance to sweep the awards as a freshman. And I just think because basically you stick him on there, and even on a bad night, Jalen Duren's play on most nights, again, if he's not in his foul trouble and he's active on most nights, it's gonna pop off the box score because of everything he's capable of doing.
It's amazing and kind of a wonderful problem to have that in the fourth game of the year, you needed to be saved by a freshman who I think technically is supposed to still be a senior in high school. And that's going to be if the one thing that gets them whenever the season ends, if they lose before we want them to lose, what's going to get them is going to be this turnover issue. But if they get further than what we expect them to go, it's going to be because the rest of the team is having a bad night. Except you have this one X factor named Jalen Duren who can rescue you in a big way. And help you win games that you otherwise probably shouldn't have won. And that's a kind of an awesome problem to have. Or I shouldn't say awesome. That's an awesome weapon to have.
Well, I think on JR, I think it's going to be not just him, but on some nights, you know, DeAndre Williams.
Sure. Oh yeah, there's also DeAndre.
He's going to be capable of carrying you all night.
Yeah.
Even if you did have an off night from Jalen Duren, whether it's Imani Bates in the jumper or whether it's DeAndre Williams, who kind of 13-8 sort of settled down in that Western Kentucky game after, you know, dealing with some foul issues in those first couple of games, or quite frankly, if you can get him comfortable. And we'll see if they can. And Earl Timberlake, who I don't just think is sitting there as a guy who can just make plays for you. We've seen what he can do, too, that Alex hasn't shown he can do consistently, is finish at the basket.
Yep.
Earl Timberlake, for him, it's all mental right now. And it's almost like you can feel Penny telling him every time, man, just play ball. Stop thinking about the scouts. Stop thinking about first round, second round, what's happening right now. Just be our playmaker. And if you can do that, good things will happen for you. But here's the funny thing. Like Penny at halftime, you know, they got a slew of turnovers. You know, you're giving West Kentucky about 40% of its offense based on just your turnovers alone. And Penny says it, admits it. You know, I'm subbing too much. You get to the second half, and it's almost he goes the opposite way and down the stretch stays with Lomax rather than going to Earl Timberlake like he, you know, talked about after the game regretting doing. So it's a matter of Penny getting out of this sort of feel and getting to a subbing. And he's saying it himself. This isn't us. I think that's what the frustrating part. He can see it too. It's a matter of him sort of adjusting that feel approach and trusting what he sees with his eyes. And I think, frankly, what we all see is that the more Timberlake, the more comfortable Timberlake, the better. And maybe if you throw it at this, you know, playmaker turnover problem, maybe it helps you, you know, solve some of that as well. So I think you've got the answers there on your bench, but it's almost like getting out of your own way. I mean, Penny at halftime blaming himself, I'm subbing too much. Then at the end of the game, blaming himself, well, I didn't get Earl back. I stayed with Alo too long. Okay, well, you've got the answers. Now it's time to go do it because you got two of your most important games of the season coming up this week up at the Barclays.
He's like an addict, like a drug addict or an alcoholic. He's a subaholic. I have a problem, but I can't stop my problem.
It is exactly what's going on. I mean, I hate to boil it down to that, but the imagery is perfect because Penny said it at the pro day. And we talked about this on Friday after we talked with their former assistant, Jermaine Johnson. Like at pro day, Penny is telling the guys, I don't give a damn about your feelings this year. I've got to win games. He's doing this in the huddle after the practice. But the point is, it's almost like he was trying to convince himself.
Yeah.
It's almost like, especially early on in the season, I want to be fair to every guy. I want to make sure every guy's got a spot here. And the difference is this year you've got an opportunity with Virginia Tech coming up and possibly, playing a Xavier team, number 25, 2 days later. You've got an opportunity now to get a couple of games that could be quad one victories for you. So the nicety, the experimentation and all that he said alone, hey, I want to get down to 9 and not really mess around with, that stuff's still happening at this point. When McKinney alone said, I want to get this leg. When Penny is saying at halftime, I'm subbing too much. So you're exactly right. It's almost like it's a cycle, a sub-by-feel sort of approach to things that he hasn't been able to pull himself out of. And it's part of his adjustment.
Yep.
And we're seeing it, and I'm just wondering if he's going to get there fast enough. Again, you've got an opportunity to be a one seed, a two seed, or a three seed. These games against Virginia Tech and possibly Xavier, they're going to go a long way in determining whether or not you're going to be that, because your conference schedule does not give you a ton of those kind of opportunities. So these games, this rotation, this week, Wednesday and Friday, super important. You turn the ball over, JR, you turn the ball over 25, 26 times mm-hmm. against Virginia Tech, against Xavier, you're going to come home with L's in spots where you could be coming home with W's based on the talent alone.
Do you think that his subbing, there's any part of this, is that this is part of his method of managing egos? Like, it's his job as a head coach, it's kind of, especially with all these big high-level recruits, you're an ego manager as much as you are a basketball coach. Do you think part of this is like, this is the bone I have to throw to these guys?
I think this is an area where, for the most part, Penny's been fantastic on managing guys. I keep pointing back to last season where you had DJ and Boogie unhappy individually. But by the end of the year, he's able to at least get them to on the same page on the court, to where you're able to go 14-3 down the stretch, play Houston into a couple of one-possession games there. If you get either one of those, you're in the tournament. They looked like a tournament team with guys having individual agendas there that were pretty clear, wanting to get out of here. I say that's Penny managing down the stretch some egos, some individual agendas, and keeping it all together. So there's good job. But to your point, Jeff, I think this is a little bit of the issue, is whether, okay, I'm going to show everybody that I've got as much talent in the country, and I'm going to keep it all happy, right? I'm going to put it all on display. When, quite frankly, the way it usually works, and I think Penny is trying to get to this point, hell, he's basically cried out for help to tell himself to go do it, is boil it down.
Yeah.
It's a process typically where you get to a 7-9-man rotation, right? And the other guys figure out, I'm either on the inside of that 7-9-man rotation or I'm on the outside. But they deal with it. To where Penny's just sort of said, I'm going to let all you guys be involved. Most are sort of going that way. Penny said, that's the way I want to go, and yet he's not there yet. And so that process, and sort of how it plays out is going to have so much to do with how good they can be this season. To that point, it almost feels self-inflicted. You're talking about the turnovers and being in the 300s again at halftime of that game. It feels like half of the issue is the subbing.
Unreal.
And he's recognized that. I'm sure Larry Brown's screaming it at him. I'm sure Cody Topper's telling him. Rasheed Wallace. Hell, they're telling him from the stands. He's telling himself, but he's got to get it, he's in his own mind, he's got to get it fixed and stop, at least, from what we can see, it being feel so much, go for what you're trying to get to, because it feels like the right answer, getting this thing down to 8 or 9.
A man's a subaholic. We need to have a coaching intervention.
He really is.
Just show up one day at practice, and they have a sign up that says, we love you, but this is one thing we have to change this about you. We're talking to Jason Smith. He is the co-host of this very show, the Jason and John Show on 92.9 FM ESPN. All right, I'm going to switch gears a little bit. I want to ask you, do you wish that Matt Nagy would get the Dan Mullen treatment?
You may as well. I mean, I'd rather do it now so he doesn't save himself.
Sure.
we talked about if you know, don't let the guy go save himself. And it needs to be more than Matt Nagy, JR. It needs to go all the way up
to Ryan Pace.
There's no question about it. I mean, you could see it in these last couple of games, especially the San Francisco games. The flashes are there for Justin Fields is the guy. But if you don't have a coach, and frankly, if you don't have a GM to put the right players around him, you're going to waste a second straight, top 10 pick here. Trubisky does not – I don't believe Trubisky had the gifts that Justin Fields had, but Trubisky was a perfectly fine NFL quarterback who, if you played to his strength,
sure,
right? Hell, you could win 12 games just like they did. Second year, they're winning 12 games with him. The point is Matt Nagy doesn't play, for the most part, to his quarterback strengths. The next year, he's trying to make Mitch Trubisky a pocket passer and not play him in the preseason. He had not played enough football to that point. They have screwed up guys. Ryan Pace has blown picks now to the point that if you can get them out now, get them away from Justin Fields, get the right sort of staff around him and support system around him, I think they've got a chance to have a, you know, to sort of, but they put themselves in position, at least with a quarterback, to take over the division. Obviously, with Aaron Rodgers, you know how much longer that's got. But if you don't do that and you keep running this thing back with Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace, you're going to be in the same boat that you're in and sort of spinning your wheels. So, yeah, man, I'm ready for Nagy to be done right now, just like Dan Mullen.
I'm with you. You can wait. They're just wasting talent left and right, it seems 100%. Like, up there. And at some point, I mean, you know, it's the guys aren't going to fire themselves. And so they're going to try to keep doing whatever they're doing. But
exactly.
You're just repeating. It's rinse, repeat, rinse, repeat, rinse, repeat. And I don't know how they do it. So I don't know if you saw this, but since, you know, you're on your Thanksgiving holiday and hopefully already cooking turkeys and whatnot. But another dude in the college football has lost his job, which you just mentioned, or we just mentioned, Dan Mullen. Like, do you think any of the area coaches around here, if like the kind of collateral damage, if that affects any of our area football teams, whether it be Lane Kiffin leaving to go to one of these open jobs or anybody else? And then who feels what?
I mean, maybe Lane. That's the thing we talked about, is going back. You know, I always thought, you know, or at least early on in this process, that if I'm LSU, I'm looking at Lane. That doesn't seem to be the way that's going to go. So if I think you'd be smart if you were Florida to take a look and maybe through back channels see whether the thing that Lane's got going for him is he can be selective. I mean, he's the mayor right now of Oxford. They're not going to mess with him. You've already exceeded everything else, and so you could sit there, stay in the West, overachieve for the most part, and be fine. The question is going to be, you know, does Lane want to take the next step up? Is he going to? Is it about winning a national championship, or is it right now about having a good time? He can have a good time, you know, for a while down there in Oxford. That, hey, no pressure, no expectations. You're going to be fine. You'll be a king, and that's a good life. But the question is going to be, you want to go down to Florida where there are expectations. In a few years, if you're not above Georgia, they're going to be saying, okay, this guy's underachieving. Like, they're going to expect you, there will be, you know, increased expectations to the point that, hey, at some point they could cost you your gig. So it's up to Lane at this point, I guess. I mean, if I'm Florida, I'm of course interested, but it's up to Lane in terms of what kind of next step does he want to take? Because, you know, you go to Florida, even if you went to a, you know, if you went to an LSU, if they did turn it back, that expectation level going to go way up. So we got to see we're going to find out what old Lane is made out of.
Well,
but I know Ole Miss is luck, for as long as they can keep him and have him, they are lucky. They will be lucky to do so, because both for him and for, quite frankly, for him and right now for Leach going to this Egg Bowl, I mean, Mississippi's got it. You know, they've got this thing pretty well covered.
You're exactly right. Who is this slam dunk? Besides Lane, who is this slam dunk hire that all these schools are firing their coaches for, that is like, oh, well, we're getting rid of our coach because there's this no-brainer who is not already at a big job making bajillion dollars that we're going to lure here? Who is this guy? Because there's so many open jobs, there's not enough big-name dudes that I'm aware of that could just walk in there and you feel great about, oh, well, he's going to turn this thing around.
You know, I think you make a great point, because even, you know, Mel Tucker one week looks great, and then another week he's getting shut, and you're saying, okay, you know what I'm saying? Like, and at one point it's looking, okay, well, he'd be a great fit down at LSU. I mean, look at the season they're having. Look at what he could do with transfers and everything. But then but a week later, you know, that shine's gone, and no. And so I'll just say, from my own personal opinion, the one guy that I like a lot and I think makes a ton of sense out for USC, the fact is you got to convince him and his wife, and you hired him at Cincinnati. When I look at Luke Fickell, I see a guy who, you know, maybe he's not as great as a Lane Kiffin in terms of selling the program and the shine and the sizzle and all that junk that you know creates, goes viral on social media. But that guy, you give him a program, and yep. I believe he will get it to a point that it is better than what he received. And you go to USC, where I still think you can win a national championship. You give that to a Fickell.
Yep.
So again, he's a Midwest guy. He's an Ohio State guy, but hey, when's Ohio State opening? Ryan Day ain't going anywhere, and you might want to get home, but it's not going to be anytime soon. You could have a chance. It's on him. Do you want to go up and increase that level of expectation? Because they're going to expect you, with the kind of coach you are, to go out there and at least be, you know, shake things up, win their conference, win the Pac-12 out there, and maybe challenge for a national title. I think he could do it. he's my guy, my safety pick. But again, Luke doesn't bring the flash, and you're going to have to sell him on sort of, hey, you got to sell him a little bit more than you do at Cincinnati. So he's my one guy that I trust the most, though, JR. But you're right. I mean, one week these guys look great, the next week they don't.
I mean, Clay Helton wasn't really flashy either, right? And don't you normally hire the next guy as the opposite of the guy you just previously fired?
That's usually how it goes.
That's usually how it goes. But again, if you can win, then I guess it doesn't really matter as long as you're winning it. A program like USC, that's the important thing. All right, I'm going to get you out of here on a total easy one. Are you bothered by Memphis football like I am?
You're going to have to go in. Look, if you're not going to change a ton. And I wonder just with the way that defense sort of, after the Navy game at least, got things turned in the other direction, I would still say underachieved. I mean, from a last I looked at the SP Plus measures offensive defensive efficiency college football, you were still you dropped back this year in a year where you expected to go up defensively, you thought, under McIntyre's second season. He's got seniors. He's got those guys. That's been a setback. They've taken a ton of injuries up front. I know. You got down to your fourth-string quarterback. I know. But that's the thing, is you felt like you'd gotten away from being the program that, you know, it comes down to the final game of the season to make bowl eligibility. So absolutely, JR, whether it's doing better in the transfer portal, whether it's changing some changes in the staff, something's got to be changed, because for the first time since, 2013, you're under 500, and you're looking at first time in 7-8 years not making a bowl. So something has to change, and I think it's a little bit of both. You need some changes both on that staff. And I'm not talking about at the top. I think it's far too early to be talking about Silverfield's job. But you need some changes in that staff, and you need some changes, quite frankly, with the transfer portal, where you got hit more than it helped you. So you got to go back at that thing. Absolutely. This is a critical time where you're trying to get into the Big 12, hopefully on the next time that thing opens up. So what you can ill afford is really steps back. You can't take any at this point. Mm-mm. And that's never been the case for Memphis, but it's even more critical now as you try to make your way to the Big 12 to keep this brand alive and going, man.
I was literally about to say that. Yep,
no steps back.
You cannot. This is the worst time to have it's just one bad year.
100%.
You cannot afford right now. There's never been a worse time to have, one bad year at Memphis football. You can't afford to
100%.
Do it. And can I just go ahead and make a public service announcement to all the writers that write about Memphis sports locally? I'm almost positive you could go through the archives at the Commercial Appeal and the Daily Memphian and read the article in, I don't know, the early August of whatever year it is.
Yep.
And the article is going to say, Memphis defense is going to be way better this year. Every year they say
very
it.
True.
And it's the exact, just stop writing that article. Let's just all hope it's better and then not write it. And then we'll write about how much better they are once they are. Because it's the same thing over and over again. We always say the same thing. They got to be better defensively. And it's just not a thing. What they have to do is score more points than the other team. And then that's how we're all happy again.
Yeah.
Jason, thank you so much for on your vacation for joining us.
Thanks, Jason.
Thank you guys, and happy Thanksgiving to both of you guys.
Absolutely.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving, man. Enjoy
it. Take care,
gentlemen.
I certainly appreciate it.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.